Scripture reading tonight comes from Galatians 5 and 6. Begin reading at Galatians 5, verse 22, and read through chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. To that point we read the Holy Word of God tonight, the basis especially of the first part of Galatians 6 and many other passages throughout Scripture. Heidelberg Catechism expounds to us the sixth and final petition of the Lord's Prayer. In Lord's Day 52, page 27 in the back of your Psalter, we'll just take question and answer 127 tonight. Which is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Beloved of God, in the fifth petition, one previous to this, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray for the forgiveness of our sins. And the guilt and the experience of the tension that our sin causes between us and God makes that petition so very real and urgent to us, so that we cry out, as the Lord teaches us, "Forgive me, Father. Here is what I have done, and I cannot but cry out with it now. I cannot hide it, because I feel the tension between me and Thee and my guilt. Forgive me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation in Jesus Christ. I am sorry for what I have done, for my sin against Thee. I see it clearly, it incurs a debt that I cannot pay to thee. I know that. And in the name of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for his people, blot out my transgressions. And the wonder we saw last time is that in the way of that confession and repentance that he gives to the child of God, no doubt, but in the way of that, God does forgive. He does restore that relationship. The one who is our righteous judge himself in our case of sin takes the punishment for our sin upon himself in Jesus Christ and makes us who were enemies into his sons and daughters and tells us so, declares us that we might live in communion and fellowship with him. He tells me in the way of that confession that it's gone. It's lifted away, never to be brought up again against me. Reality that he swore to us in the supper of our Lord this morning, so that the child of God sings, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me." But for the child of God, that can't be the end of it with respect to that sin he has confessed. Having tasted that grace of God to forgive, the child of God continues, we continue tonight after the supper of our Lord. God, give me the grace now to not go back to that again. I don't want that sin anymore, Lord God. It offends thee, and it hurts others, and it hurts myself before thee too. Father, please strengthen me so that I don't again let my tongue wag like I did and say what I should not say, so that I do not again give in to lust, so that I don't get bitter and angry when things are not going my way, so that I don't hurt people when I feel threatened, so that I don't act so selfish when there are needs that I must meet right in front of me. We join David, really, in Psalm 51. Remember, we use Psalm 51 for the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts, that confession of a sin with Bathsheba. We join David in Psalm 51 here tonight, too, who cried out about his sin, not only forgive me, not only blot out my transgressions, but then this, having been forgiven, and create in me a clean heart now, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For the desire of our hearts, Lord, is the hallowing of thy name. That's what I, as thy child, the object of thy undeserved grace, desire above all else. Remember that the first petition of the Lord's Prayer governs everything in this prayer. And that first petition now too is the reason why the child of God cannot but move from the fifth petition to the sixth petition. No, we cannot ultimately hallow, honor his name, lift it high with zeal if we are burdened by the guilt of our sin. But we cannot hallow it either, beloved, if, having been forgiven, we turn again as a dog to its vomit and return back to our sin. Therefore we cry, "Justify me, Father, forgive me, but then also sanctify me. Deliver me not only from sin's guilt, deliver me also from sin's power, that I may live my life to the glory of thy blessed name." So we have tonight petitioning deliverance from sin's power. Let's notice first the petition itself. Lead us not into temptation and then deliver us from evil. Second, let's see how God delivers us from sin's power. And third, let's observe that God does answer this request. Temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation is anything on the pathway of our life that urges us, pulls us to sin. It's anything that would seek to take us off of the straight and narrow path of righteousness before God and lead us instead along the broad way that leads to destruction. Temptations, as Galatians 6 verse 1, which we read tonight, says, overtake us. They catch us as we walk down this pathway of life. If any man be overtaken in a fault, caught in a sin, temptation comes at any moment in the path of life and almost, as the idea, pounces upon us and can overtake us so that we are captured, caught in a way of sin. The one who issues temptations is the devil. The devil is the original sinner, and as such, he's also the original tempter. Even before Adam and Eve sinned and fell in the Garden of Eden, the devil sinned. Once an angel of light, he rebelled against God's rule in heaven and tried to become God himself. And banished from heaven, he came down and attacked the earth and sought to lead Adam and Eve into that same rebellion against God that he was guilty of. So the objects of the devil's attacks and temptation are especially the children of God, as Adam and Eve were. The devil certainly tempts the unbeliever, that is true. But the unbeliever is already walking on the broad path that leads to destruction. And his temptations there are simply to drive them deeper and deeper into sin. But the great attacks and the great efforts at temptation certainly come upon the believers. They are attacked with force. And we must know that too, children of God. You are the object of temptation more than people in the world. It's you that he's really after. It's you that he really wants to draw off the path of righteousness, especially. For you are God's own. And he seeks to overthrow, destroy what God has done and make it his own. That was his goal in heaven already, wasn't it? To overthrow God and to make himself God instead. And ever that remains his goal, even with his dealings on the earth. And he seeks to do that by overthrowing God's plans for his people. Plan to be with him as we walk that straight and narrow way. Instead, to overthrow those plans and lead us to the broad way that leads to destruction in our lives. And he has no other weapon to attempt to do that than this temptation. It is his only weapon. And he really needs no other weapon because it is very effective. It was temptation that led Adam and Eve into rebellion in the garden. And it is temptation still today that will grant him victories in battles. And there are many things that the devil has in this world that he can use as temptation to God's people. There are places, there are people, and there are things. There are places in this world that the devil uses as temptation upon the people of God. There are places that the child of God should not go, because to enter into that place is temptation for the child of God. There are certain places that's true for all of God's people. There are other places, perhaps, that certain children of God that are tempted specific ways or specific things should not go to. Even if the place itself in many ways is fine, and other of God's people can, because it brings them into temptation in that place. Just for example, the child of God who struggles with alcohol addiction should not go into the liquor store, though another child of God might be able to, or any other place where liquor is readily available. Maybe certain places where erotic material is readily available, even something as innocent as a gas station. And the person who knows they are overwhelmingly tempted by lust ought not go there, at least not alone. There may be even stores, perhaps, that a woman or a man goes into and immediately they are discontent with their life. Because of all these things around them that they want so badly. Or they can't hold themselves back from buying them even though they don't have the money. The devil uses places to unleash temptation. The devil uses persons, people as temptations. Maybe people that influence us in a wrong way and that we cannot be around because we cannot resist temptation that they bring. The Apostle Paul warned us, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And he means there, evil communications of people, from certain people. Bad company is the idea. Bad communion, bad fellowship corrupts good manners. There may be certain people who tempt us to use bad language and we can't seem to resist it. Or people who tempt us to violate our marriage vows with them, either emotionally or physically or both. There may be people who tempt us to waste our money. Or people who tempt us to love the world because they're in love with the world. Or to drink to excess. Or not even to drink to excess, but to drink all the time because that's all they ever want to do. And if we cannot resist the temptation that comes along with the person, then we have to avoid them. The devil uses persons to tempt us. The devil uses things, which though they may not even be wrong in themselves, tempt us. The internet, for one. Television, or certain channels on television. Smartphone. There are a plethora of things that can easily become idols to us. We become so obsessed with them and the pursuit of them. The devil uses things to tempt us, though they are good in themselves. He employs them to attack us. And you see, we are praying here in this sixth petition to God that He might keep us from circumstances where we are going to be tempted greatly. To keep us from circumstances where the devil will use places or people or things to place a great, terrible temptation upon us so that, you see right there immediately then, we cannot possibly pray this petition if at the same time we ourselves are actually willingly seeking to be tempted. If we have an alcohol problem, we can't pray this petition to God with any sincerity. God, lead me not into temptation. And then get done praying and go call up the friends who urge us to drink and ask if we can come over. It doesn't mesh. It doesn't meld together. We can't pray to God, lead me not into temptation, Father, with any sincerity in our heart when we know that we have a problem controlling what we watch on TV and then get up from the prayer and call the cable company and ask them to up our subscription to even more channels that pump out filth instead of less. We can't pray as parents. Parents, we must urgently pray this petition for our children and young people. But we cannot pray this. Keep my children from temptation, Lord God. Lead them not into temptation. Then get up and go to the store and buy our teenage boy with raging hormones a smartphone with no means of accountability to it. This is the prayer of the child of God and the family of God and the congregation who is seeking to be delivered and who himself flees temptations that the devil plants into his life. This is not the prayer of the one who goes to find the devil and then take him by the hand and says to him, now where are all those temptations? Lead on. Where are all those temptations I've been hearing about? Take me there. This is the child of God who knows the all-encompassing grace of Jehovah to forgive his sins and is humbled by that and out of the depth of the gratitude of his heart cries, I don't want it anymore, Father. And therefore, I'm fleeing it. I'm trying to not let those temptations be strong in my life. I know I'm going to be tempted, and I'm trying to flee them because of it, Father. But I can't control everything in my life, so lead me not into temptation. Because I know just how weak, how frail I am. The reason why we need to pray this petition, first of all, is because we know how little temptation we can withstand. As the Catechism says, the reason for this petition is that we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. It's quite striking in the passage that we read this evening that the Apostle Paul at the end of chapter 5 is talking about the fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about God's people who are regenerated and being sanctified, walking in the Spirit because they live in the Spirit, because they have crucified the flesh with its lusts. The subject there at the end of chapter 5 is victory in the Christian life over sin, living in the Spirit. But then in the very first verse of the next chapter, he goes on to speak about being overtaken in a sin, overtaken in a fault. Why? Because the apostle knows that just because we are God's children, and though we are regenerated by a work of sovereign grace, that doesn't mean that we're not liable to fall into sin, or that sin is no problem for us, or that temptation doesn't work on us anymore. The Spirit is there, and we walk in the Spirit. But the old man is there too, and alive and well. And that's precisely why the devil's weapon of temptation is such a threat to you and to me, and why he only needs that one weapon. It's because there's something inside of me that corresponds, that is drawn to what is in that particular place that the devil is using, or that person says to me, or that thing offers to me. There is something in me that wants that is attracted to that, and all of us have that in the old man. And we recognize that too. There are some of those places and some of those people and some of those things that tempt me more than other places, people, and things. We all have a depraved old man of sin. We all have to contend with, of course. Not every old man of sin expresses itself in the exact same way and with the exact same ferocity in the same ways as everybody else's. Some are more tempted by this. Some are more tempted by that. And we get to know that about ourselves as we grow up in this life, and parents have to help their children and young people learn that about themselves as they grow up. And as we learn that and see that, we pray this petition very specifically too. Especially, Lord God, lead me not into this temptation, because my old man particularly loves this. I know it. I know it. And I am weak, and I cannot stand a moment. And I know very well too, Lord God, that the devil knows that about me. You know that he studies God's people very closely. As much as you know yourself, he knows. He knows what the old man is like, and even our particular old man is like, what it loves. He knows this one, whatever, alcohol will do it. This one, depressing thoughts will do it. This one, lust will do it. This one, competition will do it. Or a few or all of the above. And the child of God who sees this about himself, knows his old man, and sees that the devil sees that about himself, cannot but cry out to the Lord, I am trying to avoid temptation, to flee from it. But I'm not in control of everything that happens in my life. Therefore, lead me not into temptation, I pray. The second reason why the child of God must pray this petition, the first part of this petition, is because he knows that God sometimes does lead his people into temptation. Now hear that carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ did not teach us to pray, God, don't tempt us. But he taught us to pray, God, we're praying this to God, lead us not into temptation. God sometimes does lead his children into a way that will bring a temptation upon them, even a great one. In his sovereignty, he leads us sometimes into circumstances in our life that he knows will pose a temptation for them, that will allow the devil to go after them with ferocity, with a place, person, or a thing. Like Job. God sovereignly led Job in the circumstances of his life into a great trial. Very difficult, difficult circumstances in his life. And God knew that the devil would tempt Job greatly in those circumstances. God doesn't tempt him. The devil does in those circumstances, and God led him into those circumstances where the devil could even use a person very close to Job, his own wife, curse God and die, Job, to tempt him. God led Joseph sovereignly in the circumstances of his life, to the point where he became the steward of Potiphar's house, to the point where Joseph would be there when Potiphar was away because he was the steward of Potiphar's house, where nobody else would be around except Potiphar's wife, knowing full well, determining even, that the devil would use that person, Potiphar's wife, to tempt him. God never tempts. Never actively tempts anyone. As James tells us in James 1 verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But he does lead us sometimes into circumstances that are outside of our control, where we may be greatly tempted. Always his purpose is good with that. Always his purpose is right. He does this to try us. He does this to test our faith. He does this to grow us. His purpose is always to lead us in a way of righteousness and growth and development that we need. Sometimes he even uses the devil to tempt us in those circumstances of our life, to provide the test for us, to prepare us for an even greater temptation down the road as he grows and strengthens and matures us. Sometimes we really need this because we are on autopilot spiritually. And it takes him leading us into temptation to wake us up so that we are watching and on guard again against sin. Sometimes we can be like frogs in a pot of water on a stove. The burner gets slowly turned up. The water starts to get warmer and warmer, and the frog doesn't even notice until it's burned to death and dies. The burner of the world and the influence of the world, and this happens in Northwest Iowa, gets slowly turned up, and the world starts to slowly encroach on our lives and thinking, and we don't even see it. Can't even see it. Sometimes God uses the extreme measure of leading us into temptation, even so that we fall or someone in our family or around us falls, to shock us awake, to make us aware of the danger that we are in. But though God does that sometimes, and that's the extreme measure, we don't want God to have to do that in our life and in the life of our family, in the life of our congregation. We don't want Him to have to lead us into temptation in order to grow us and strengthen us. We would rather learn from the Word itself as it's preached, from being told this is right, this is wrong, this is the world encroaching, than having to taste it, touch it. It's like when you tell your child, how would you rather learn that the stove is hot, my child? By touching it? Or by me telling you that it's hot? And if the child can't learn by being told the stove is hot, he touches it and he learns all right. He learns that way. But it leaves pain and leaves a scar. So too in all of our life. If we have to learn by this extreme way of being led into temptation, even falling a bit, we'll learn all right. We'll learn. But the pain and the scars that will last and will be reminders of the lesson. What the text says in verse 7 of Galatians 6 still applies, even though God is sovereign over all of this. What a man sows, he willingly goes into this. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. There will be consequences to learning this way. Lot loved money. Lot loved the world. Dollar signs in his eyes everywhere he went. God placed Lot in circumstances where he would get the world. The world would be right there for a time in his life. That's what it took for Lot to learn. You want the world, Lot? Here's what it's like, and here's what's going to happen. Lot learned. He got out of Sodom before it was too late. God preserved him, kept him. He learned his lesson. But all the pain and all the scars for Lot. He lost his whole family, lost his wife, lost his children to the world by that lesson. And we pray, therefore, we pray for our children. We pray for all the children of the church. This is us. Lead us not into temptation. Father, Father, may they learn and grow by Thy Word, by Thy voice, saying as it comes to them, and not by having to touch and taste, and by having to fall. Not by having to be led into temptation to see that sin in their own depravity of heart and to recoil back having touched. That way brings scars and difficulties. What if God, in His sovereignty, decides that we will be put in circumstances, that we will be put in a great trial, or we will be put in other circumstances of our life, or we will be greatly tempted one way or another to despair, to anger, to lust, whatever it is. And we pray the second part of this petition. Deliver me and deliver us from evil. We pray first, lead us not into temptation. But if in His sovereignty He does lead us that way and chooses to allow the devil to tempt us greatly and we can do nothing about it, we can't escape though we try, then that's where the second part of this petition comes in. Then deliver me from the evil. Give me strength to stand in it, Father, I pray. Give me strength to stand when I am tempted to despair in these circumstances of my life. Give me strength while I am tempted by these people before it's possible for me to get away from them. I'm trying. Give me strength while I am in this place that I have to be in for a time and I can't escape right now, but I'm trying and I will as soon as it opens up. Give me strength while I have to have these things around me for a time. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 106, explains the two parts, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, explains the two parts of the sixth petition that way. Question, what do we pray for in the sixth petition? Answer, in the sixth petition we pray that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin or support us and deliver us when we are tempted. So that we are praying here, really, the promise of God, that is, recounted in our form for baptism. That God will avert all evil or turn it to our profit. Keep us from temptation, Father. And if we must be led into circumstances where we are going to be severely tempted, if that in thy sovereignty is what has to take place, then my next prayer is sustain me. Sustain me. And turn that even to my profit. Then don't let that lead me into a way of sin. Don't let that pull me off the narrow way that leads to glory. Don't let it destroy us. Don't let the evil one grasp hold of our hearts then. Preserve us, we pray. Strengthen us so that we come out of this test stronger, not weaker. Faithful to Thee, more bound to Thee, not forsaking Thee. I am prone to wander, Lord. I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Because Thou art sovereign. I pray this to Him. Thou art in control of absolutely all. Thou art in control ultimately of the circumstances of my life. And Thou art in control of the devil who uses people and places and things to tempt me. And Thou art the God who then can either lead me not into temptation or strengthen me if I must be led into it. So I cry to Thee. This petition, beloved, as all of the petitions, is a confession at bottom of God's absolute sovereignty over our lives. Why pray this to God if He is not sovereign? Why pray this to Him if He is not in control of the circumstances of my life? If He is not in control of the devil? If He is not even in control of the motions of my own heart, it would be absolute folly to pray this petition. The child of God knows the sovereignty of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ knew the sovereignty of God, teaching us this petition. Praise after His Lord Jesus. I know, Father, that at the end of the day, the devil is Thy devil. Nothing he does is outside of Thy control. And all the places and all the people and all the things are under Thy sovereign hand to lead me and my children not into temptation. And if I must, my children must, and deliver us from the evil. How does God keep us from temptation? And how does God deliver us from the evil? He does so sometimes by direct providence in our lives. There are times when God may, in His sovereign providence, change the circumstances of the child of God's life so that a great temptation will not be there waiting for them, for their children, or so that they might be delivered from the evil. He arranges circumstances so that you are able to flee, you are able to get away from that place that is a temptation to you. So that, like Joseph, we may flee, we may run away from Potiphar's wife, run away from the temptation when we couldn't before. He arranges circumstances of life so that we're able to get out of that job with those people who are tempting me. Sometimes if one has fallen, He arranges things, the circumstances of life, so that the sin is exposed, so that it can be dealt with, and in that way delivers us from that evil. Sometimes God even intervenes in His sovereign providence and takes away the tempting person or place or thing. I don't doubt, beloved, that there are even accidents that occur, car accidents or otherwise, that have occurred in God's sovereign plan in answer to this petition. Or perhaps someone who is under great temptation, or would be, is removed from that possibility by another person being injured or taken out of their life in some way, or even possibly a death. God is in control of everything, even things that remove the temptation from us when there is no other way. It's not always either that the accident is upon the person or place or thing that is being used to tempt. I don't doubt either that when we get to heaven, we will see that there were times that some things occurred in the lives of God's people that incapacitated them, that stopped them in their tracks, or things that shook up their life circumstances that were done in God's sovereign purposes, partly in answer to this petition, to either keep them from a great temptation along their path or to deliver them from the evil. We might even discover there are some of God's people who were taken to glory when they were, in part to keep them from temptation or to deliver them from an evil. But all of that, beloved, we are not involved in, are we? We must simply leave to the hands of the Lord. The second way that God delivers us leads us not into temptation, keeps us from temptation, or delivers us from evil, is of much greater concern to you and to me, and is the most common way, is the way that the Catechism describes. He preserves and strengthens us by the power of His Holy Spirit, so that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. He answers. How does He deliver? How does He keep from temptation? He does so by sending the Spirit in answer to this prayer. He really does. He gives Him in richer measure to strengthen the child of God to either flee the evil or to resist it when we can't. He gives us strength to fight. He gives us strength to flee. That Spirit that He sends is the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to make holy. It's to sanctify. It is to deliver from temptation and from the power of sin, and to consecrate the child of God to Jehovah. And God gives that Spirit. Gives that Spirit along with the Word. The Spirit never works or does not work apart from the Word. When God sends His Holy Spirit to His people in answer to this petition, He sends Him always along with His Word. If we don't believe that, we'll get caught up in Pentecostalism, which always separates the Spirit from the Word. He works strength to stand against the evil of sin by His Word. He works strength to avoid temptation, to flee it, to run away from it by His Word, chiefly as that Word is preached. Part of the answer to this petition, therefore, is that God, in fact, preserves the pure preaching of His Word in the midst of this world. Part of the answer to this petition is that He gives us to use that means of the preaching of the Word, to come to it hungry, looking for strength, because that's where strength is given to flee temptation or to fight against it. That Word especially preached, but that Word less formally, even in counseling, catechism, Bible study. And so we are praying in many ways in this petition. God bless the ministry of Thy Word in this place, so that in all of those ways, that Spirit comes and strengthens us. Keep us from temptation and deliver us from evil. God strengthens by the Spirit too, through the means of all of God's people's words and actions with each other that are informed by, spurred by that word. Sometimes repetitions of that word. Parents, of course, bring the word to their children, teach them and admonish them. How often parents are used by Jehovah God in direct answer to this petition to keep their children from what otherwise would be great temptation for them. Parents, by sending their children even to the good Christian school, are part of how God answers this petition. Parents, by their own wisdom, informed by the Word, guiding and leading their children, they are part of the answer of the church's cry, "Lead us not into temptation. Keep us, deliver us from the evil." Children, go home. Thank your parents. Thank God for your parents. You really have no idea how much temptation you have been kept from by God's use of your parents. A direct answer to this petition in the life of the church. School teacher, I wonder how many of us can say that it was in part to a godly school teacher that was used by God to keep me from temptation or to deliver me from the evil when I was in temptation. School teachers, recognize God can use you in this way too. Give your lives for the sake of our covenant children. By your teaching, by your spiritual impact on their life, keep them from temptation and help to deliver them from the evil if they are in it. A direct, again, direct way in which God answers this petition of the church. Godly friends, godly brothers and sisters in Christ who heed the call of Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Godly fellow believers, who see us perhaps heading into a situation where we are going to be tempted greatly and who keep us out of it, speak our God's answer to the petition of the church. Lead us not into temptation, God. Godly friends, godly fellow church members who speak to us when we are caught up in sin and evil, have fallen to temptation, are part of God's answer to the petition of the church, deliver us from the evil. Thank brothers and sisters that do this, beloved. They are a direct answer to this petition that the church prays. God gives them to do this. And be this person for your fellow church members, beloved. As part of the answer of God Himself to this petition, the Spirit works to strengthen by your speaking a word, warning, encouragement, reproach. So that you see, by all of this together, all dependent upon the preaching of God's Word, God gives strength by the Spirit to flee temptation, to run away from it and not to it, and to fight when in His sovereignty the circumstances of my life bring it in a way that I cannot escape. We get tired sometimes, do we not? Spiritually. We get exhausted in this battle against our own selves, against the world, against that old devil. We are attacked. We are bloodied and bruised. There's times where we want to give in, jump over to the broad path, leave the straight and the narrow behind. He gives strength by His Word and by His Spirit. He renews the will under that Word. He gives that will new spiritual qualities so that the child of God can stand and engage in this battle yet again. He gives spiritual fervor back through this Word in all of these ways. Always He does. The devil may be resisted then, may be fought against then by that spiritual grace. He has no ultimate control over my life, and God will never answer this petition by saying to His people, you know what? No. I'm going to give the devil free rein over your life. I'm going to remove the seed of new life there completely. I'm going to turn you over to Him. He gives us strength by Word and Spirit. That we might flee, or that we might fight again and again and again. Until at last, as the Catechism says, we obtain a complete victory. What I described above is the partial victory that He gives in answer. There is, beloved, a coming complete victory. By that same Spirit, it's the same way, by that same Spirit, in conjunction with the Word of Christ Himself that He will speak, we'll remove that old man out of us altogether, so that there is nothing inside of us that wants what the devil uses in temptation anymore, so that that weapon will no longer work on us. And the devil himself in that day and all of his temptations will be banished to the lake of fire. The whole church will be redeemed together, fully body and soul, filled to the brim with the new life of Christ. Nothing else there but that life that loves Him and honors Him and serves Him and wants nothing else but Him. God will show Himself faithful, as He always does. We'll say in that day, my children, I have been in control of your life, and I have preserved you through the means to the praying of this prayer. And now I deliver you fully from all evil, as you longed for when you cried out with this to me. By my grace, my sovereign mercy, you are at the end. You have made it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You may lay down your armor now and rest and enter the joy of your Lord. Amen. Father, lead us not into temptation. If it must be, then deliver us from the evil, we pray. And, O Father, bring us to that complete victory we long for. Preserve us till then. By Thy sovereign mercy, amen.